Coming up on this episode of the Leadership Lounge.
There are three kinds of people. Those that make big happen, those that let things happen, and those that ask, what happened? Who do you want to be?
That was the voice of today's guest, Mark Moses, founder and CEO of CEO Coaching International. And welcome to the Leadership Lounge with Mitch Slater and Saman Sami, brought to you by UBS. This is the podcast where the world's top business leaders pull back the curtain on their journeys to success, from the highs and lows of entrepreneurship to transformative insights on leadership and growth. We dive deep into the stories that inspire, educate, and challenge the way we think about business. So sit back, relax, and step into the Leadership Lounge, where great leaders share their secrets. Now here's the interview with Mark Moses.
Mark, it's been such a pleasure getting to know you over the last 2 years. And really appreciate you being our debut guest here on Leadership Lounge podcast. Your background is extremely impressive. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your story, and how you got into the coaching space?
So I grew up in Canada. I was an athlete like you, Sammy, as you know. I played competitive tennis. I then went off to college. And when I was 22, I wanted to get out of Canada. I wanted some warmer weather. So I moved to California. And I set up my first company. I did that for a number of years, sold it, set up another company, did that for 13 years, and then sold that. And 16 years ago, I got into the coaching business. And today, our firm coaches 530 CEOs and leadership teams around the world. And we have 60 coaches on our team that are the former CEOs of companies like Procter & Gamble, Samsung, Goodyear, Home Depot, Under Armour, Xerox, Tektronix, Kohler, et cetera, and a bunch of entrepreneurs that have built meaningful businesses and then exited. And we're excited because our average client grows revenue at over 2.5 times the national average at 31% year over year, and grows profit at 5 times the national average, at 53% year over year. And that's part of what makes us popular.
Great. Thank you. First of all, it's so nice to meet you. And thank you again for being our debut guest today, Mark. So throughout my career, I've dealt with many business owners who have struggled with exiting their business in a lucrative as well as a logical system. So based on your experience, I thought it would be great if you could highlight for our listeners what you call the 5 things you need to know if you want to build, scale, and prepare your business for a lucrative exit.
Well, 5 things.
Come up with 3, whatever you want.
Well, don't build your business to sell. Build a great business that is going to last forever. And if you build a great business, your business will be sellable at the time you want to exit. So that would be the one thing that I would recommend. Secondly, life is short, and build a world-class leadership team. And what I have learned in 16 years of coaching, those that have the best people on their team build the best businesses, and the businesses with the most enterprise value. I ask CEOs all over the world, if you could enthusiastically hire every member of your leadership team again, would you? The answer is often, almost always, no.
Hmm.
Do you believe that team will take you where you want to be a year from now? Yes or no? How about 3 years from now? Yes or no? And the answers are almost always, well, no, I wouldn't enthusiastically hire everybody again on my leadership team. I'd probably give a miss on a couple, and know those people that I would give a miss on will not take me to where I want to be a year from now, yet they're still on my team because it's kind of good enough, and I will tolerate that until I won't anymore. And then if you ask people how many or yes, leaders, how many people they've fired too soon, despite vacillating over this topic a month, a year, 10 years. Nobody has ever has anybody they've let go too soon. So my second point in describing this is have a world-class leadership team. And like Jim Collins says, the only way to deliver to the people achieving is not to burden them with the people that aren't achieving. A players want to hang out with and work with A players. So a high-quality leadership team will enable a business to grow at a rate greater than their peers and also build a much better business in terms of enterprise value. I also believe, I'll go to my point number three, is growth rate matters in building a business that is, you want to have an increased valuation. But in addition to growth rate, you have to have a business that's profitable. So we like to look at, in the SaaS business, they'll say rule of 40, 20% growth rate in revenue plus a 20% net margin. Add the two of them together, and you want to be over 40 or rule of 40. If you're over 50 or over 60, you're going to command a higher valuation. Don't have, point number four, don't have big customer concentration risk. That will reduce the value of your business as well. And have a, I'll give you your five. So point number five is have an appropriate and desirable gross margin in your business. It's hard to it's hard to make more money and have a profitable business if you got a very low gross margin. Low gross margins are businesses are less profitable. And so how do I know all this? We've had 83 exits for over $20 billion, and we see the same story repeatedly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I was reading, I think it was in the book, you could do all of these things and then something unexpected happens. And I'd love for you to tell the story about the explosion, the unexpected explosion that, you know, you had to pivot in a business with.
Yeah. I remember that explosion. It was a long time ago, but we had an explosion in our business, and it was back in the 90s before companies had the opportunity to be virtual like they are today. And we didn't have the systems where people could log in from anywhere, or the phone system when you got leads coming in every single day that we were able to transfer them to multiple different places. And all of a sudden, our company was essentially, when we had an explosion and over 80 firemen and women showed up that day, it was, oh my God, we're about to lose our business because we have no place to work. We've spent all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars on lead gen. The phones are ringing, but we can't answer them. And then we got all these people that, hey, they need to get paid and be at work. And if they're not making sales, how are they going to get paid? And when can they come back to work? So we lost our phone system. We lost our whole network and all our access to our computer system. So we were essentially out of business, and the building didn't burn down as a result. We pivoted. We hooked up a generator. We makeshifted technology at the time and ran it out from the parking lot. We had holes in the ceiling, and the building was like charred. Yet we found a way to come back to work, got the phone company, get the phones back up and running on a makeshift, system. And, we found a way to survive despite them telling us it was going to be months before we're going to be able to get back into the building.
And that's certainly the sign of great leadership, being able to pivot and figure out a way, even when the technology hasn't caught up to where you were in time. Obviously, there was no Zoom. Would have been a great idea to start Zoom, but of course, the technology wasn't there at the time.
Well, I want to say this, that 15 years of coaching, I've also learned adversity happens to everybody. And it happens when you least expect it. And it's your ability to overcome that adversity when it does strike. It could be you could lose a top customer. You could have an unexpected death of a key employee. I know one of this client I've worked with for a very long time. His COO was driving home one day after work and hit a telephone post and died on the scene. People can get sick. A vendor could, I remember had this client that their biggest client was Costco, and their vendor failed to supply them before Christmas with all the inventory they needed, and Costco cut them off. So there are all kinds of things that could happen. Government regulation could change. Look what happened during COVID and all the businesses that some companies, their revenue went to zero. And then they had to figure out how they were going to pivot and survive. And many of them went out of business. On the other hand, some of them redid their business model and came out stronger with a better business model than they had before. So it's how you deal with adversity when adversity strikes.
Right. And that reminds me, and then I'll hand it over to Sammy on my a past podcast that I had. I interviewed John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and John had written a book right before COVID called No Excuses. And he was really talking about how, you know, these bars and these restaurants had to come up, you know, with a way to make it work and how we help them do it. Sammy, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah. So, you know, as a former athlete, Mark, coaching is super important to business owners. One of the things that I've learned the most from you, I've learned a ton from you, but one of the things that really strikes out to me and even in my own career around in finance is the concept of adding a zero to everything you do in business and personal. Could you talk a little bit about that to our listeners?
Yeah, Sammy, I love this concept because let's just say you're a business with 30 million a year in revenue. If you add a zero to it, now you got a $300 million business. Well, that feels like a massive leap going from 30 to 300. Yet, if you think about 30 to 300 or 10X over 10 years, that's only a 26.7% growth rate year over year for 10 years. I mentioned earlier, our average client's grown at 31% year over year, which is higher than that number. So this can be done. And it's really about having a mindset about where do I want to be X amount of years from now? So I'll just use this example. I'll use an example of one of my clients, Rich Ballett, who you know, Sammy. Yeah. Rich says, I'd like to build a $1 billion business. And got there 5 years early in building this $1 billion business when he was at 70 million when we started. Now his goal is to have a $10 billion business, and we're at 3.2 billion. We had 7 years left to achieve our 10-year goal to get to 10 billion, which is a very meaningful business. And we have plans on how we're going to make that happen. We still have to execute. We still need great people like we talked about earlier. But that's the concept of adding a zero. You can think as big as you allow yourself to think.
That's fantastic. Is there anyone in your life that has influenced you to think this big? Because I'm extremely fascinated with how big you think, Mark.
Well, thank you. I just finished reading. I'll go to the most recent because I over the summer I read Elon Musk's new book, and so what do you mean that spaceship can't go to Mars and you can't get it done in what do you mean it's going to be 2 years? I need it done in 2 months, and I need it done at half the cost, and it needs to weigh 25% of what? What do you mean you can't do that? And so he's just a great example. As crazy and wacky as Elon Musk is, I found all summer I talked about his book because I was reading it, how inspiring he was to believe that he could achieve anything if he put his mind to achieving anything. So that would be the most recent. As an athlete, you and I, I'm a little older than you, Sammy, but I grew up in the era when I was playing tennis of Bjorn Borg and Jimmy Connors and Chrissy Everett and Martina Navratilova. And I was always inspired, and I'll put John McEnroe in there too, although he came a couple years later. I was inspired by watching these guys. They inspired me to believe that I could too. And you and I recently talked about Andre Agassi, and he wanted to win the U.S. Open. And he thought he would be somebody someday if he could win the U.S. Open just one time. And then he won it, and he wasn't satisfied. He thought, maybe I got lucky the first time. By the way, Andre, nobody gets lucky winning the U.S. Open anytime. And then he goes in and he wins it again. And he was still not happy. And I guess Andre was addicted with success. And that can be good and could be bad. Yet those are some examples of people that that have inspired me. I'm equally inspired by those around the Ironman journey. Paula Newby-Fraser from South Africa, this just tiny little lady, won the Hawaii Ironman 8 times. I remember watching that on TV going, man, someday I want to do that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you know, I had the pleasure of spending a few days with Andre Agassi. You remind me a lot about him in business, because one of the key things I learned from spending time with him is just his relentless execution skills. I mean, he is extremely process-oriented. Nothing is up to chance. And he just executes every single day. And there's something to that in business as well.
Yeah, I think about that in all the athletic training that I have done. And it's just getting up, putting those shoes on, or you're clipping in onto the bike or hitting the pool. And it's just a matter on the days that it's hard and you got to dig a little deeper and you're tired from a big day the day before. It's just one foot in front of the other. Might not be your best day out there, but you got to get it done. Log the workout. Tomorrow will be a new day.
Yeah,
that's so true. That's so true. And I am more of your generation there, Mark. And I certainly got to see all of the greats that you mentioned play tennis. And I'm glad you did mention John McEnroe. God forbid he listens and finds out you didn't mention his name. He and his wife Patty Smythe, who I've met, will definitely not be happy. But boy, those were great days, and I totally get it. And I'm glad you mentioned Elon Musk's book, which is a great book. But I want to ask you about this book. Okay, let's talk about your book here, Making Big Happen: Applying the Make Big Happen System to Grow Big, which you wrote with some friends from CEO Coaching International. So in the book, you and the coaches really emphasize the structured approach to achieving extraordinary growth. So maybe elaborate a little bit on how to make the Big Happen system uniquely that helps CEOs and business leaders bridge the gap between setting ambitious goals and actually achieving them. So especially in today's fast-paced, very competitive environment.
So why did we write this book? We kept getting asked, what do some companies and some leaders do that enable them to have extraordinary success versus the average leader that may just have average success or mediocre success? What do they all have in common? And I would tell you that what we learned was that the best leaders have a system and process for how they run their business. No different than the way Sammy was talking about a moment ago about the discipline that Andre Agassi and other athletes have in their training. So we thought by studying the top performers, we would learn. And so what we wrote about in this book and the Make Big Happen system was around what are the processes that the best use to run their business. Everything from what they do annually, quarterly, monthly, weekly, daily. And we learned that if you want to achieve huge, outrageous targets, or we refer to those as HOTs, what are the specific and measurable activities you need to keep score on every day, every week, every month, every quarter that will drive the outcome that you want? And if you do that every day, it's just like we were talking about earlier with training, one foot in front of the other. You do that every day relentlessly and hold yourself accountable to what you said you would do, you can achieve amazing, amazing outcomes.
Well, that's great. And we will certainly be putting a link for folks to get a copy of the book. Sammy, I'll let you bring it home with one more question.
Yeah. So I had the pleasure of attending the Make Big Happen Summit in April. And boy, was it transformative for me. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the event, why you started it, and how other entrepreneurs can benefit from attending?
Sammy, what was your favorite part of the event? I know it was a big event, 500 CEOs and leaders from around the world. What was your favorite part?
Well, the theme was AI, right? So I walked away understanding that if you're not implementing AI in your business as an entrepreneur, you probably will be out of business in the next decade. So that is, I walked away with some really actionable items for me personally to even implement and just learn more about it and then ask curious questions about it to entrepreneurs. But then honestly, the meaningful connections I made at that event moved the needle. I made probably 10, 15 amazing new connections where there was a lot of collaboration. So I personally encourage other entrepreneurs to go, but I would love for you to talk about it a little bit.
Sure. So the Make Big Happen Summit, we started this in 2014, and it was really about getting our clients together and having them have the opportunity to learn from each other, be inspired by each other, by just knowing each other and being in a room together, make some meaningful connections, make some new friendships. The first year we did it in 2014, there were 33 people there. And as you know, now we're at about 500. We've had President George W. Bush come out and sit down with us and for a very open conversation about many, many topics. We've had Jesse Itzler. We've had AI leaders, sales leaders, super successful clients of ours that have built billion-dollar businesses come and share their stories. Those that have built a smaller business in the hundreds of millions of dollar range, share those. It gives those an opportunity to come and be inspired to think big, make meaningful connections, do business with each other, and learn from some great resources in areas that they want to learn about. And we're really excited about the event coming up this coming April, and because this year, instead of doing an MBA for the day, on the first day, we're going to have an MBH for the day and Make Big Happen Day, where we have some amazing resources from Harvard Business School and others come taking us through some serious learning on the day one. And the day two, we're running tracks where our clients get to choose what track do I want to learn the most about, and they get to choose a couple of tracks out of four or five tracks that day. So we're really excited about it, and we keep doing it because our clients love it, and we love doing it for our clients. So that's why we do it, and I know I'll see you there again, Sammy, at the Make Big Happen Summit.
Yeah, I have to echo that. I've been to a lot of conferences. You know, at UBS, we work mostly with entrepreneurs, so we get invited to a lot of different events. But the energy in the room there, the talk about it after the fact for months and months is something I've not experienced in the past. So extremely excited to come back and potentially bringing way more people with me this time, now that I know how big it was, the impact it made. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Sammy. We look forward to having you and the team at UBS back again. Well, Mitch, Sammy, thank you guys for having me on your inaugural podcast episode. It's an honor to be here with you guys. And I wish you great success with this podcast. Additionally, I want to say to all your listeners that there are three kinds of people: those that make big happen, those that let things happen, and those that ask, what happened? Who do you want to be?
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us on our debut episode.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us on the Leadership Lounge with Mitch Slater and Saman Sami, powered by UBS. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and gained valuable insights to fuel your own success journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and share the episode with anyone looking to grow as a leader. And stay tuned for more exclusive stories and strategies from the world's most inspiring business minds. Until next time, keep leading with purpose.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review Client Relationship Summary, provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.